A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Daniel sent us this one. He's been thinking about what happens between the user interface and the model API. That invisible layer that shapes everything about how an AI app feels to use, without ever touching the model weights. He calls it the AI agent harness, and he's asking whether features like automatic thread splitting, context compression, sliding windows, whether those are middleware features, how they actually work under the hood, and what someone should know if they wanted to architect those kinds of experiences themselves. He mentioned Open Web UI's context compression and LangChain's orchestration layers as reference points. There's a lot here.
The timing on this is perfect because the context window race has hit this weird inflection point. We've got models shipping with million token windows now, 2 million tokens in some cases, and the bottleneck isn't capacity anymore, it's relevance. You can stuff an entire novel into the prompt, but the model's attention gets diluted across all that noise. The harness is what decides whether that giant window helps or hurts.
The million token window is less a feature and more a storage unit you now have to manage.
And most users don't realize they're already using a harness. Every time you open ChatGPT or Claude, there's a middleware layer making decisions about what the model actually sees. Daniel's instinct is correct. These are middleware features. They operate on the prompt before it ever reaches the model. And the distinction matters because middleware is auditable, replaceable, and model agnostic. You can swap out the model underneath and keep the same context management strategy.
Let's define terms before we go further. When you say AI agent harness, what exactly are we pointing at?
Everything between the chat interface and the model API that shapes behavior without retraining. That includes context compression, thread management, memory systems, tool calling orchestration, sliding windows, summarization pipelines. None of it changes the model weights. All of it changes what the user experiences. Think of it as the stage crew for a theater production. The audience never sees them, but they determine whether the show works.
It's not just prompt engineering with a fancier name.
Prompt engineering is a subset of it, but the harness is broader. Prompt engineering is about crafting the right instructions. The harness is about managing the entire information flow, deciding what the model sees, when it sees it, and how previous interactions get preserved or discarded. It's architectural.
Daniel's core question is whether this distinction between model features and middleware features actually matters to the end user. If the experience is identical either way, who cares where the compression lives?
That's the right question to sit with. And I think the answer is yes, it matters enormously, but not for the reasons most people think. Let's trace through the mechanics first, then we can get to why the distinction has real-world consequences.
Start with the underlying problem. Why do we need context compression at all?
It comes down to how attention works in transformer models. The computational cost of the attention mechanism scales quadratically with the number of tokens in the context window. Every token you add makes every existing token more expensive to process. So even if a model technically supports a million tokens, running inference on a full million token context is punishingly expensive and slow. You don't want to do it unless you have to.
Quadratic scaling, so doubling the context quadruples the compute cost.
And here's a concrete way to feel that. Imagine you're at a dinner party with four people. You can track all six one-on-one conversations happening across the table without much effort. Now imagine that dinner party has 40 people. You're not tracking conversations anymore. You're just trying to figure out who's talking to whom, and you're missing most of what's actually being said. That's the attention problem. More tokens don't just add information, they add relationships between pieces of information, and those relationships multiply faster than the tokens themselves. Which means context management isn't optional, it's a practical necessity. And that's where the harness comes in. The question isn't whether to manage context, it's how.
All right, walk me through the main approaches. Daniel mentioned OpenWebUI's automatic context compression. What's actually happening there?
OpenWeb UI implements this as a built-in feature, configurable through the admin panel. The system monitors the conversation as it grows. When it detects that older turns are contributing diminishing returns, it automatically compresses them. The raw history gets replaced with a short summary, maybe 2 or 3 sentences, that captures the gist of what was discussed. That summary gets appended to the system prompt, and the model sees the compressed version instead of the full transcript.
If I've been talking to the model for 50 turns about, say, planning a trip to Japan, and then I pivot to asking about dinner recipes, the harness might compress those 50 Japan planning turns into the user previously discussed travel plans to Japan, including hotel preferences in Tokyo and a budget of approximately $3,000, and then drop the raw history.
That's the pattern, and the user never sees this happening. They just experience a model that seems to remember the important stuff without getting bogged down. The magic is entirely in the middleware.
How does the harness decide what's important enough to keep in the summary? That feels like the hard part.
It is the hard part, and it's where most of the engineering effort goes. The simplest approach is to use a separate, smaller model to do the summarization. You feed it the raw history and a prompt like, "Summarize the key points from this conversation in 3 sentences." The smaller model is fast and cheap, so you can run it frequently without adding much latency. More sophisticated systems use heuristics. They might weight turns based on recency or look for explicit user signals like, "Remember this," or "This is important." Some even track which pieces of information get referenced later in the conversation and use that as a training signal for what to retain.
The summarizer itself is learning what matters over time.
In the most advanced implementations, yes. But most systems today use a fixed summarization prompt and let the small model do its best. It's not perfect, but it's surprisingly effective.
What's the alternative approach? The simpler one.
The sliding window. You keep only the last N turns, say, the last 20 exchanges, and drop everything older. No summarization, no compression, just a hard cutoff. It's fast, it's predictable, and it works surprisingly well for a lot of use cases.
That's essentially what Daniel described doing manually. New thread per topic.
He's been running a manual sliding window this whole time. The harness just automates it. And the trade-off is straightforward. A sliding window guarantees you never exceed your token budget, but you lose all information beyond the cutoff. A summarization approach preserves more semantic content, but introduces the risk that the summary misses something crucial or distorts the original meaning.
It's the classic engineering trade-off between precision and recall. Sliding window has perfect recall within the window, and zero recall beyond it. Summarization has fuzzy recall everywhere.
That's a great way to frame it. And different applications want different points on that curve. A customer support bot might use a hybrid, sliding window for the last 10 turns, plus a running summary of everything older than that. The recent turns give you precise context for follow-up questions, and the summary prevents the bot from completely forgetting that the user mentioned a refund request 20 turns ago.
That hybrid approach sounds like it would cover a lot of ground. Are there situations where even that breaks down?
Consider a legal document review. You're feeding the model a 100-page contract and asking questions about specific clauses. A sliding window is useless here because the relevant clause might be on page 3 and you're asking about it on page 97. Summarization is dangerous because the summary might elide the exact phrasing that matters for a legal argument. In that scenario, you probably want something closer to retrieval, augmented generation, RAG, where you index the entire document, search for relevant passages based on the query, and inject only those passages into the prompt. That's still a harness function, by the way. It's just a different strategy.
The harness isn't one thing. It's a family of strategies you pick from based on the use case.
And that's why making it configurable matters so much.
Let's talk about LangChain, since Daniel mentioned it specifically. How does their approach differ?
LangChain's agent framework is middleware by design, not by accident. It sits explicitly between the user and the model API, and it gives you configurable chains that manage memory, tool calls, and context trimming. One of their key components is conversation summary memory. Instead of keeping every turn, it generates a running summary that gets injected into the system prompt, then drops the raw history.
It's doing what OpenWeb UI does, but as a programmable framework rather than a GUI toggle.
And LangChain also gives you different memory types depending on what you need. Conversation buffer memory keeps everything. No compression, just raw history, which is fine for short conversations. Conversation summary memory does the summarization approach. Conversation buffer window memory implements the sliding window. And you can chain these together so you might have a buffer window for recent turns plus a summary for older context.
The Lego bricks approach to memory management.
That's the philosophy. And what's interesting is that LangChain exposes all of this as configuration, not code. You don't have to write the compression algorithm. You pick a memory type, set parameters like window size or summary prompt, and the framework handles the rest.
Which connects to something Daniel noted. He said these features can be configured without coding through tools like OpenWebUI's admin panel. The barrier to entry has genuinely collapsed.
A non-developer can open OpenWebUI settings, set a context limit of 8,000 tokens, choose between sliding window and summarization, and adjust thresholds for when compression kicks in. That's a GUI operation. 5 years ago, you'd need a team of engineers to build that pipeline.
We've covered the mechanism. Now let's talk about what happens when users don't know it's there.
This is the part I find fascinating. When context compression is invisible, users develop superstitions about model behavior. They think the model remembers or forgets based on some ineffable personality trait. They'll say things like, Claude has a better memory than ChatGPT, or this model gets confused in long conversations. They're attributing to the model what's actually a harness decision.
The model becomes a Rorschach test for the middleware.
And this shapes product perception in ways that have nothing to do with model quality. Two products could use the exact same model under the hood, but if one has a more aggressive context compression strategy, users will swear the model itself is less capable. I've seen this play out in forum threads where someone complains that a model lost the thread after 20 turns, and the real issue is that the product's sliding window is set to 15 turns. The model never had a chance.
Which means the harness is the actual product differentiator, not the model.
And that's the argument for why the distinction matters. If you're evaluating AI products, you need to know whether you're judging the model or the harness. Otherwise, you're making decisions based on the wrong variable.
Daniel raised an interesting counterpoint, though. He said that for end users, whether a feature came engineered this way or was implemented on the front end is a moot point. It's not interesting. The experience is the experience.
I understand the argument, and for casual users, I think it's largely true. If you're just chatting with ChatGPT, you don't care where the context management lives. But the moment you're building something, the moment you're the one architecting the experience, the distinction becomes critical. Because middleware is auditable. You can inspect exactly what's being sent to the model. You can swap components. You can AAB test different compression strategies. If the compression is baked into the model weights, you get whatever the model provider decided, and that's it.
It's portable. It's portable.
That's the other huge advantage. If you build your harness on LangChain or OpenWebUI, you can swap GPT-5 for a local Llama model and keep the same context management strategy. The harness is model agnostic. If the compression is baked into the fine-tuned model, you're locked in. And lock-in is expensive when the model landscape is shifting as fast as it is right now.
Are there actually teams building context management directly into models?
Some research groups have experimented with special forget tokens, tokens that signal the model to drop previous context. The idea is that the model learns during fine-tuning to recognize these tokens and clear its internal state. But there are two big problems. First, it requires retraining, which is expensive and slow. Second, it's brittle. The model might learn to forget in some contexts, but not others, and debugging that is a nightmare. You're essentially trying to train an emergent behavior, and emergent behaviors are notoriously hard to control.
Whereas middleware forgets exactly when you tell it to forget, every time.
Deterministic, auditable, and free to change. Daniel mentioned that AI evolves in the blink of an eye, and he's right. The harness approach lets you iterate on context strategy without touching the model. That speed advantage alone makes it the right default for most applications.
Let's make this concrete. Give me a real scenario where someone would configure this.
Imagine the team building a customer support bot with LangChain. They're handling hundreds of conversations a day, and each conversation can run 30 or 40 turns. They don't want to pay for the full context window on every turn. That's expensive at scale, so they configure a 10-turn sliding window with a summarizer that runs every 5 turns. the bot never sees the full history. But from the user's perspective, the bot seems to remember everything. It references earlier parts of the conversation naturally, because the summary captures the key details.
The user has no idea they're talking to a bot with amnesia.
And that's the art of harness design, making the constraints invisible. The best harness is the one the user never notices.
What about the other direction? When does context compression go wrong?
The classic failure mode is when the summary loses a critical detail that seemed minor at the time, but becomes important later. Imagine a user mentions in passing that they have a nut allergy, then 20 turns later asks for restaurant recommendations. If the summarizer decided the allergy mentioned was low utility and dropped it, the model might happily recommend a Thai peanut restaurant. The harness created a safety issue without anyone realizing.
The compression threshold becomes a safety parameter.
And this is why making it configurable matters. A medical chatbot should have a much higher retention threshold than a recipe recommender. The harness lets you tune that per application. You can't do that if the compression logic is welded into the model weights.
I want to circle back to something Daniel mentioned. He said he'd be surprised if OpenAI hasn't quietly implemented automatic context compression under the hood. Do we know if they have?
OpenAI does not publicly document automatic context compression in ChatGPT. They've talked about context window sizes, and they published research on attention mechanisms, but the specific middleware behavior, what gets truncated, when, and how, is a black box, which is Daniel's point. If they're doing it, users don't know, and if they're not, it would be brilliant to add. The fact that we can't tell is itself a statement about how opaque these systems are.
Open Web UI makes it explicit and configurable. OpenAI makes it invisible and, presumably, non-negotiable.
That's the philosophical split in how these products are being built. The open source tooling says, here are the knobs, tune them yourself. The commercial products say, trust us, we've tuned them for you. Both approaches have merit, but they serve different audiences. If you're a developer who needs to guarantee certain behavior, the black box is a liability. If you're a casual user who just wants things to work, the black box is a feature.
All right, let's zoom out to the bigger picture. If someone's listening and thinking about building an AI-powered application, where should they start with all of this?
Start with middleware context management before you even think about fine-tuning. Fine-tuning is expensive, it requires curated datasets, and it creates a maintenance burden. Every time the base model updates, you might need to retrain. Middleware is faster, cheaper, and gives you more control. You can implement a sliding window and a summarizer in an afternoon with LangChain or Open Web UI.
For power users who aren't building apps but want better results from ChatGPT or Claude,
adopt Daniel's habit, new thread per topic. It's the simplest form of context management and it costs you nothing, but also explore tools like Open Web UI that automate this. Set a sliding window of 20 turns and see if the model's coherence improves. Or try conversation summary memory in a side project. LangChain has a quick start that gets you running in minutes.
The thing that strikes me about all of this is how much of the AI experience is already shaped by the harness, not the model. And most users have no idea.
That's the quiet revolution happening right now. The model gets all the headlines. GPT-5 achieves human-level performance on the bar exam, but the harness is what determines whether the thing is actually useful in practice. And as context windows keep growing, the harness becomes more important, not less. Bigger windows mean more noise, and managing noise is a harness problem.
The million token window doesn't make the harness obsolete. It makes it essential.
The harness is the difference between a million tokens of signal and a million tokens of noise. And here's the thing. As windows get bigger, the harness's job gets harder, not easier. Filtering signal from noise in 1,000 tokens is straightforward. Doing it in 1,000,000 tokens requires real sophistication. The harness has to work harder to justify its existence, and that's where the interesting engineering challenges are.
Let's talk about where this is heading. You mentioned adaptive context management earlier.
This is the next frontier. Right now, most context compression uses fixed rules, sliding windows of size n, summaries that trigger every m turns. The next step is adaptive systems that learn which parts of history matter based on the user's current query. So instead of keeping a generic summary of everything, the harness looks at what you're asking right now and retrieves only the relevant history.
It's context compression meets semantic search.
That's the idea. And some teams are already experimenting with this, using embedding models to index conversation history, then retrieving relevant chunks on the fly based on query similarity. It's more complex than a sliding window, but the results can be dramatically better for long, multi-topic conversations. Imagine you're talking to an AI about three different projects over the course of an hour. A sliding window would have dropped project one entirely by the time you circle back to it. A semantic retrieval system would see that your new query is about project one, search the indexed history, and pull back exactly the relevant turns. It feels like magic, but it's just good information retrieval with a vector database sitting in the harness.
Which brings us back to Daniel's question about whether the harness is middleware. If you're running semantic search over conversation history before every model call, that's definitely not happening in the model weights.
It's middleware all the way down. And that's the point. The harness is where the real product engineering happens. The model provides raw capability. The harness shapes that capability into an experience.
When someone says Claude is better at long conversations than ChatGPT, what they might actually be observing is that Anthropic's harness has a different context retention strategy than OpenAI's.
Or that the default settings are different. Or that one product compresses aggressively while the other retains more raw history. Without visibility into the harness, you can't know what you're actually comparing. You're doing a bake-off between two black boxes and attributing the results to the part you can name, the model. It's like judging two cars based on their engines when one has a 6-speed transmission and the other has a 4-speed. The engine might be identical, but the driving experience is totally different.
Which is a pretty good argument for open source tooling where you can inspect the harness yourself.
It's the argument for auditability. If you're deploying AI in a context where mistakes matter, healthcare, legal, finance, you need to know exactly what the model is seeing. A black box harness is a liability, and we're going to see this become a compliance issue. Regulators are eventually going to ask, what information was the model given when it made this decision? If the answer is, we don't know, the middleware compressed it. That's not going to fly.
All right, we've covered a lot of ground. Let's land some concrete takeaways before we wrap.
Three things I'd want listeners to walk away with. First, if you're building an AI-powered app, start with middleware context management before fine-tuning. It's faster, cheaper, and more flexible. Longchain and open web UI give you production-ready tools out of the box.
Second, for power users, adopt the new thread per topic habit. It's manual context management, but it works. And if you want to go further, Open Web UI's context compression settings are configurable through a GUI. You can set thresholds and window sizes without writing code.
Third, when you're evaluating AI products, ask yourself whether you're judging the model or the harness. The distinction matters more than most people realize. Two products running the same model can feel completely different based on how they manage context.
That last one is the insight I think Daniel was really driving at. The harness is invisible, but it shapes everything.
It's the stage crew. You never see them, but the show doesn't work without them.
Here's the open question I want to leave listeners with. As models get smarter, will middleware become obsolete? If the model can manage its own context perfectly, do we still need the harness? Or will the harness become the primary differentiator between AI products? The thing that makes one app feel magical and another feel broken, even with identical models underneath?
My bet is on the harness becoming more important, not less. Because the model's job is to be generally capable, the harness's job is to be specifically useful. And specifically useful is where products win or lose. A model that can do everything is a platform. A harness that makes the model do exactly what your users need, that's a product.
Now, Hilbert's daily fun fact.
The sport of kabaddi was briefly misattributed to indigenous tribes of the Kamchatka Peninsula in a 1912 ethnographic survey, a claim that was corrected in 1916 when researchers realized they had confused kabaddi with a local wrestling game called reindeer grip.
I have so many questions, and I'm not going to ask any of them. I'm just picturing someone trying to hold onto a reindeer and calling it a sport.
This has been My Weird Prompts. If you enjoyed this episode, rate us 5 stars and tell a friend who's building with AI. We'll be back next week with another prompt from Daniel.
See you then.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, my weird prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The hosts dig in, the hosts dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too, from half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long-eared host. My weird prompts, until next time, stay curious, keep weird in mind.